Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Mike Conte will join us in about 40 minutes. Talk some Falcons, some college football with him. Obviously, Brandon Adams always stops by on Tuesdays as well. And we'll talk about that insane Georgia win on Saturday with BA. But good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It's a wonderful Tuesday. Got a chance to listen to some of BA the other day. Yeah, he must have been yelling loud as hell. BA, rah, rah, rah.
Oh, is his voice going?
Oh, yeah, he real raspy. Real raspy. So we make sure my man BA get him some hot tea or something. Because I know he was probably hollering his ass off because it was an unbelievable game.
Did he sit in the press box?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought he did.
But I'll tell you this, man. Watching the highlight tape from the game, I just love it. I do. It does not pain me that they do the Rocky Top in that slow woman's voice. Good old. It's so great.
Yeah.
It's so great, especially when you win.
Oh, but, sure. Yeah, rub it
in. Yeah. I mean,
that's what you're supposed to do.
You know I don't rub in nothing, okay? All right, that's not my,
lotion.
Lotion,
yeah,
yeah, but yeah, that's not neither here nor there. You know me.
Leave it on your skin.
I am a classy. I'm a classy winner. I don't gloat. I don't DM you. I don't at you, and I don't do none of that stuff.
Retweet.
I don't do. That was an accident. All right.
Okay.
It was an accident. Okay. All right. It was that.
Unretweet it?
Because I don't know how to do all that.
Oh, okay.
I do, but I ain't feel like that, man. It was so much stuff going on Saturday night, man. I lost track of time.
I
lost track of time.
Who can keep track of all the tweets and retweets and all these things?
Yeah, man, I just lost track of time. But that's all right. You know, I mean, they forgive me, you know, other than some of the people that got mad that I did it. But it's okay.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah, that's why you don't read comments, Andy. That's why you don't read
comments. One of the smartest things that you can do in life is to not read the comments.
That's why you read the comments.
Just don't read the comments.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I mean, sure. Rub it in or whatever. Bask in it. It was incredible.
Definitely.
It was an incredible win. It was, I mean, obviously down by 8 in the fourth quarter so late. It was improbable, and then they missed the field goal and then overtime and all that stuff. And it was just one of many really wild games on Saturday.
I need Jim's number. I meant to tell you that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, let me get
my father-in-law? For what purpose?
I just wanted to text him a selfie. Oh. I got to put my Georgia hat on.
And so that wouldn't be rubbing it in?
Oh, the Jim, yeah, because he did to my baby.
Got it.
I know them his grandbabies.
Okay.
I know them his grandbabies. I know all that. But he know he ain't have the. He just went a little overboard.
He did. That's what he is. He's retired now, so he's got a lot of time to think about stuff like that and do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful he's a Tennessee fan and not an Oregon fan because I can chuckle about it.
Right,
Georgia, Tennessee, ha, ha, ha. If he did that to my children with Oregon gear, well, I don't know what would happen.
Oh, I'm telling you,
I don't know what would happen.
There's nothing worse. I remember my Isaiah's aunt went to Auburn. Auburn beat Georgia one time, and my kids had to take pictures that are archived in Auburn shirts.
Why?
Because Auburn, that was the bet.
You agreed to it.
Yes, I agreed to it.
Got it.
I don't think I did.
I hope so.
I think that was Mama that agreed to that damn bet.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think because I wouldn't have never agreed to that.
Why would you?
Guess what I'm saying? Like, I don't take pictures. I did one time with Sky when South Carolina beat Georgia, and I had to do the whole thing with it. But, you know, I kept the fire pit right next to it, did the video, threw the – But other than that,
the worst one I ever did was when I worked in Portland. I made a bet with our producer, who was a big Ducks fan, and they beat Washington. And I had to wear an Oregon jersey for a segment and recreate a famous call.
Uh-huh.
It was awful.
Oh, man.
Every single second of just awful.
Yeah, that's worse than
that's the last time I did that. And I
can't do it no more, man. That's because I wouldn't ask you to do it.
I had no control over the game.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Why would I put my... A lifetime of embarrassment.
Yeah.
Over.
Because he will still text me that picture when Oregon beats Washington.
Yeah, I bet.
Like every year. Except for those couple when Kalen DeBoer was our coach and Michael Penix was our quarterback.
Right.
Those were good years.
Yes.
Yeah, since then, no.
But it's Apple Cup week because it's all in my algorithm.
Yeah.
It's all in my
really good.
Yes, it's in the algorithm right now.
I always like when the algorithm is doing good work.
Yes. But yeah, so it's all this Apple Cup stuff. And I'm just like, Washington's going to beat the hell out of Washington State.
That's probably right.
It's probably going to, beat the hell out of them. So,
probably.
Whatever. It should be a fun game.
Well, you don't have a game. Jordan doesn't have a game this weekend.
I know. A stress-free weekend.
Yeah, stress-free weekend.
So or a stress-free Saturday.
Recover from the Tennessee win and then get ready for Alabama the weekend after.
Yeah, how about that?
Again, like now that we're into conference play for the most part, like most of these teams are now into conference play, you start looking at, oh, what a great win for Texas A&M. Well, look at their next five games.
Yes.
Or, oh, Oklahoma did what they did in non-conference. Look at their conference schedule. Or obviously Georgia with what they've got coming down the pike. It is crazy, like how difficult these conference schedules are going to be to navigate.
Yep.
And you know that's why it's so vital to get those big wins early. And I know Tennessee obviously is a conference game, but get these big wins early and get into SEC play or Big Ten play or ACC play in Georgia Tech's case with a lot of momentum, as all of these teams have. And I don't know. It's been a really fun start to college football. Obviously, it's been surprising in some ways. I mean, a lot of what was predicted hasn't happened.
Yeah,
like a lot of these great, supposedly great quarterbacks have not played great.
That's one of the big. I think is that not the biggest one? You know, I mean, and I know it was a whole lot of arch hype and all those different things, and a lot of it had to do with the name.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it had to do with his quarterback at Texas, and it just hasn't panned out. Is he healthy? I'm not gonna make excuses for him. But it's one of those situations where sometimes you need a reset. Sometimes,
yeah,
you need a reset.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
don't know. It's not surprising to me that like the hype machine got swept up in it. We understand
that.
It
always happens.
And it's not surprising to me that people that predict things were wrong, because that happens a lot too. But like at this point, it looks like Sark was wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's a lot of football left. They can get it right. They're still fine. But to have 114 against UTEP definitely looks bad. Klubnik, I mean, that's one that we had seen a lot from and hadn't played well yet.
How great was he? How good was he though?
Well, I don't know, because I got tricked.
Yeah.
I picked him to win the Heisman, picked them to win the national championship,
yeah.
And I'm sitting over here now. So,
right.
Wrong.
Yeah. But I just think, like, you know, when you look at it, like, Mateer down in Oklahoma, how great he's been so far this year. Kid in Baylor, what's the quarterback at Baylor? Thank you, Sawyer Robertson. He's been really good this year. I mean, you know, there's been certain guys who you just didn't see on those lists. They probably was on the list, but down a little further. Lenore Sellers been okay, but he got knocked out last game.
Yeah.
We knew that Pavia was going to be doing his thing, what he does.
Well, the two that are kind of crazy are the two that we just talked about, the game between Georgia and Tennessee. Like, Gunnar Stockton, we just didn't know.
Right.
And then, obviously, you know, there's some concern here, there, whatever, missed throws against Austin Peay. He was fantastic on Saturday.
He was outstanding.
And I don't think anybody, you know, maybe Carson Beck, there's a couple guys, but like, I don't think anybody's has played better than Aguilar.
Oh no,
the first 3 weeks.
No, he's been so great in that system.
And he wasn't even supposed to be there.
I know he got there this summer.
He was supposed to be at UCLA, where the coach just got fired. Obviously, they trade spots. He goes to Tennessee, and he didn't get there till after spring ball. So that's the thing that's wild, is like some of the known names that were there, whether it's Klubnik, who we had seen play, or Arch with all the hype, and others, kind of haven't lived up to it yet. And then you got Joey Aguilar, who App State led the nation in interceptions last year, mm-hmm. went to UCLA, came back, got there after spring. What's this going to look like? And he's been fantastic.
Yeah, man. He's been great, man. And going back to Carson, I'm not surprised that Carson's playing well, because I think Carson's a damn good quarterback. So not surprised by that at all. But, yeah, the Aguilar thing, because you just didn't know. But I'll tell you this, that system, it works. You know, but I mean, just overall, when you look at the hype of different teams, you know, I'm still waiting to see will the real Penn State stand up. Will they haven't had a challenge? Now next week, next week they got Oregon, who I think right now is playing just as good as anybody, mm-hmm. man. And when you talk about like whipping somebody's ass because you're way better than them, that's what Dan Lanning has been doing. They just been beating the hell out of people, man. And that offense is going. They got the right formula as far as the interior. It's Oregon, so they always gonna have speed, you know. So I mean, they are one, and you know that's gonna be the one right there. Obviously our game next week against Alabama is very, very big too. But yeah, when you look at the first test. Because this would be both of these teams' first test, in my opinion. Talking about Oregon and Penn State.
Oh, without question. No, I mean, they've both played fine to start the season, but they both haven't played anybody.
Right.
So they've done what they've been supposed to do. I think Oregon kind of did their message sending against Oklahoma State, because Gundy decided to talk about By the way, what he said was true, but there's no reason to say it. Yeah. And also, you benefited from having a rich booster for a long time. Yes. But I guess Dan Lanning took that personally, and they decided to put it on him. Yeah. They beat him by 66. They played okay last week against Northwestern, but they did what they had to do. It was 34-0, and they took their foot off the gas. We're going to learn a lot. It's September 27th, right? That Saturday. Mm-hmm. You've got that game between Penn State and Oregon. Obviously, you've got Georgia and Alabama. There's a couple other really big ones as well that, you know, you're just going to kind of learn about who these teams are. Like we talked about last week with not really knowing exactly what to expect from Georgia. And, you know, now that the dust has settled a little bit going into that game, my expectation was, all right, Georgia's defense always plays really well against Tennessee's offense.
Yes.
Kirby's always got a good plan and players against what Heupel throws at him offensively. And I don't really know about Gunnar Stockton. They'll probably play conservative and it'll be low scoring. Wrong again. The Georgia's defense has never looked worse against Tennessee offense. And Gunnar Stockton was able to do pretty much, as much as he wanted throughout the entire game. Do you come out of that game worried about Georgia's defense?
No, not at all. Because I've seen good offenses do this to Georgia's team. You know what I mean? Like, you go back and look at what gives Georgia trouble most of the time. It's usually a dual threat quarterback, a first round type receiver. When you look at the games that they've had those kind of points totals in it.
Yeah. Like, when does that happen?
Ohio State.
Okay. Yeah. Ohio State. That's right.
Playoff game. Game against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Those Nick Saban teams. Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Joe Burrow and LSU.
Yeah.
I miss one. Baker Mayfield and that team. I mean, certain offenses and certain teams, certain type style players give Georgia credit. But
those
at the same time,
those are special.
They've
offenses.
But they've won them. Most of them, except for the ones with Alabama.
And LSU.
But most of them, they won. And so, yeah, I think the biggest thing about what Georgia does to do is they don't go in a tank when they're down. Mm-hmm. When it's adversity and all those different things, it's like, damn. It's like, all right, let's keep going, because we're going to find a way to get this to the fourth quarter and find a way to give ourselves a chance to win.
Yeah.
And those other two, the LSU game, went no happy.
Nobody was going to do anything.
Nobody was going to do anything.
What we said coming out of that SEC championship game. So many Georgia fans were like, what does this mean for the state of the program? I was like, let's just see what LSU does in the playoffs.
Yes.
And then withhold judgment. Oh, they blew everybody out.
Right.
Sometimes that happens.
It does.
Sometimes there's just the perfect team, and that was the perfect team. I came away from Saturday, and I already felt like this about Georgia, but now you've seen it. They can beat anybody on a given Saturday, and there's probably 7 to 10 teams in the country that are also in that group.
Right.
Right. And Tennessee might be one of them.
Maybe.
Tennessee played awesome on Saturday, too, really, man.
They played great. I'm not going to take anything away from the Vols. They played an outstanding game. Just came down to a guy,
It's the same thing as the Ohio State game. Make the kick. Goes different.
Goes different.
They missed the kick.
We did.
So that's that.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't feel, and we said this going into the year, it didn't feel like the top shelf college football teams were as separated from the second tier. And it also didn't feel like the difference between the top shelf teams was noticeable this year either. I just think, Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Miami probably, LSU, Tennessee put them in there with the way they played. There's just a handful of teams that, like, ball bounces this way, kicker makes a kick, this guy makes that play. All that to say, we're this far into college football, which isn't that far, but at least you're 3 games in. National championship is
wide open.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wide open.
Sure,
Heisman race. Wide open. Which is fun, I think. I think that makes it the most fun. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into what's trending here to kick off the show on a Tuesday. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.